All right, please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Acts, chapter number 5, we'll be starting tonight. Much of it will be a review, but our Bible study time tonight is pertaining to the subject matter of the experience of obedience. The experience of obedience. Acts, chapter number 5. Once you've found Acts chapter number 5, we'll begin reading at verse number 27. Again, Acts chapter number 5, turn in your Bibles there tonight, Acts chapter 5, and we will begin reading at verse number 27 in our Bible study time tonight. No? Acts chapter number 5, verse number 27. As a matter of fact, let's back up just a little bit. Let's look at verse number 25. Verse number 25. It's probably just don't want to act right, brother. That's all. Okay, let's start. We'll just leave it like that, Brother Gene, and go to Plan C or D. All right, Acts chapter number 5, verse number 25. We're going to start there where the Bible says these words. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let's keep that in mind. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Verse number 1 of chapter number 6 says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Church, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. I ask that you would bless your word to our heart, that we might be attentive to what thus saith the Lord. Guide us and direct us tonight. We need you in this hour. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may remember that much of these verses we've read quite recently here. The experience of obedience. 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 Got a question for you, church, tonight. I think I asked the same question the last time we went over this text of scripture here. How many happy and victorious Christians do you know? How many Christians do you know when you think of adjectives like happy, enthusiastic, encouraged, positive, energetic about the Lord, confident in their salvation, assured of their salvation, positive about Jesus being their Savior? How many people come to your mind? Or if I were to use other terms that are not so positive, most of the people that you know as Christians would come to your mind. When you look in the mirror, do you see one of these positive, confident, energetic, optimistic, encouraged Christians? Do you all remember the hymn? If you would look in your red hymn book, I believe I marked it as hymn number 332. I think it's hymn number 332. If you could look in your, yeah, there it is. In your red hymn book, hymn number 332. The hymn writer says right here, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Many times, many things, many needs, many resources, much of the supply that we need, we don't receive because we're simply not walking right. God has told us what we should do, and we simply don't do it. We simply don't trust and obey, because obedience, the proof of obedience, or the proof of it is that we've trusted him. We've trusted him. He goes on to say, "Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey." When we're trusting God, yeah, we're going to have hard times. We're in a wicked world. We're walking among sinners. This world has been tainted by sin. But when we're trusting God, yeah, we'll cry sometimes, but we won't linger there. We won't stay there. We won't live there, because we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. We're trusting him. We're obeying him. It's not that we are emotionless. It's not that we don't have feelings, but rather we put our direction in the right place for our focus. We're trusting God. He goes on to say, "Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey." Sometimes we'll sing that song, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we're trusting and obeying, we free God up to meet our needs. We free God up to work in our lives. We free God up to do what he wants to do, so that that part of the scripture where Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray comes true in our lives. When he taught the disciples, he says, pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Sometimes I think we don't even imagine, we don't grab hope of the fact that God is for you even more than you are for you. God's not sitting up on a throne just watching us struggle, watching us have a hard time and not able to help us. He takes no pleasure in our grief. He does not delight in our sorrows. He goes on to say, the hymn writer says, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. That's just how our Father is. Think about yourselves when you have children. Think about yourselves. Think about, for example, let's use this example here. Even if you don't have children, let's say you have some pets. You got Fifi and you got Bowser. One is obedient, one is disobedient. Now, you know, the one pet that you got that's disobedient won't be treated as nicely as the one that is obedient. The one that's obedient gets the extra treats. The one that's disobedient gets the extra punishment. And that's just down here on earth. You come home from work and you come in the house and the cushions and the pillows are all torn to shreds. And the one that was obedient is just sitting over there in the corner because they know somebody did something bad and somebody gonna get in trouble. And they don't want to be that somebody. And the guilty party, they got feathers all around their face, but they're trying to look innocent. He says again, but we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. When we trust and obey, we prove and we allow God to prove through us that he loves us. And here's the last stanza of hymn number 332, Trust and Obey. Listen to this. That is just great doctrine in this hymn here. Then, in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. He says, go here. He says, do that. But because we trust him, we obey him, we go here, we do that. Does he say it's going to be easy? No. But he says it can be done. And the best way to please God and the best way to show others and come to know for ourselves that God is strong is simply to trust and obey. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. We don't. What's important is that we start at the beginning and we stick with him all the way through, and God will change us before we get to the end. You remember in the Bible when Esau and Jacob were going to be meeting each other, and Jacob didn't want to meet Esau because Jacob, he knew what he had done to Esau. But the night before they met, Jacob wrestled with the angel of God. He, in essence, he wrestled with God all night long. Before the night started, his name was Jacob. But by the time the sun came up, his name was Israel. He wrestled with him and he wrestled with him. And he wrestled with him. And he said, the angel says, turn me loose. He said, he said, turn me loose. Jacob says, I won't turn you loose until you bless me. And the thing about it was, as he wrestled all night, what was important, it wasn't that he was a good wrestler. What was important was that he changed. And the changing did not happen because he wrestled all night. The change happened as a process of wrestling all night. As we trust God day in and day out, we trust him through the nights, we'll get to that place where he wants us to be and we'll be changed. It's the process that changes us. It's the process that changes that. You never seen these folks, you watch these commercials, Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig, and they show you the before and they'll show you the after. It wasn't the before that changed them. It's what happened in the process. So you see the change afterwards. They trust and they obeyed a process to get the results that they desire. We want to be great people for God. It's just not going to happen until you get involved with trusting and obeying God. How many happy Christians do you know? How many Christians do you know that they're just in the mully grubs? This hymn here talks about how to be happy. How to be happy. He says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Happy in the Lord. Happy in the Lord. Have we fulfilled our responsibilities as Christians? There's no other way to be happy in the Lord but to trust and obey. Now I want you to consider the text that we read. And I hope you got a glimpse of what was going on here. In verses 27 through 29, these people, and we're coming up to our first blank space right here. Get ready to fill in the blank space here on your study sheet. In verses 27 through 29, they responded to their situation by expressing their commitment to obey God. See, we need to make up our mind in advance. We need to make up our mind ahead of time. Don't wait until you're in a jam. Don't wait until you're in a fix. Don't wait until you're between a rock and a hard place to decide what you're going to do, to decide if you're going to do what's right. They responded by expressing their commitment to obey God. They were committed. And that's something that's so lacking today in our society, a commitment. People are not committed to things. They want this quick fix or this fly by night. Not committed. I mean, there's an expedience for obedience. There is an expedience for obedience. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? We're not going to live forever. Time is short. The Bible tells us in the Psalms, says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. If we think about the fact that if we took time to number our days, we'd have to say, you know what? We don't have that many days. When we think about all of the days that have come and gone already, I'm going to tell you what, in my life, those days seem to have been like that. Just like that. I can remember when I was riding on my skates. I can remember when I learned how to skate. And it seemed like it wasn't that long ago. I remember when I learned how to ride a bike. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But you know what? It's been over 40 years. It's been over 40 years. Like that. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. If we understand how short a time we have, then the rest of that verse says that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Seeing as how we don't have much time, the Bible says your life is a vapor. It is here but for a moment, and then it vanishes away. Our time is short. There is an expedience for obedience. Do what you can in obeying God while you can. Because you won't always have that chance. It won't always be yours. You won't always have a chance to tell somebody, hey, I love you. You won't always have a chance to tell somebody, hey, I'm sorry, I apologize. You won't always have a chance to do something nice for somebody. You know how people used to say, oh, give me my flowers now because when I'm dead, I can't smell them. You won't always have a chance to do something nice for someone. You won't always have a chance to help somebody. Somebody that can't help you back. The expedience for obedience. The Lord could come back at any time. His return is imminent. At any time, the trump could sound. At any time. So number one, here we are with the first point, but your next blank space. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Perform. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Duty calls. We sing from sometimes that song, Stand Up for Jesus. And I think a portion of it says, when duty calls, be never wanting there. Don't let it be that when duty for you to do something, you're absent. You're not in your place. Obedience is a duty to be performed. Look at verse number 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They know their time is short. These are exciting times. These are actually perilous times. They answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Didn't the Bible say, don't be afraid of the man that can destroy your body, but be afraid of the one that can destroy both your body and your soul? We ought to obey God rather than men. Listen to this. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. And Saul lost the throne. He lost the throne. Samuel said to him, I want you to think about this, Saul, King Saul. Which pleases God most? Bringing a lot of money and putting it in the church offering pan? Well, I'm bringing $1,000. I'm going to put $1,000 in the offering pan every week. And on fifth Sunday, I'm going to put $2,000 in the offering pan. Is that going to please God more than your being obedient to God? No. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can't give God anything that he hadn't already given to you. So obey him. Saul learned a hard lesson right there. At least there was the beginning opportunity for him to learn. God had told him to go out and fight against this city called Ai. And God told him to destroy everything, man, woman, child, and beast, and destroy everything, that nothing would survive. He disobeyed God, took the best stuff of what they had and brought it back. And he said, I'm going to give this as an offering to my God. God said, I don't want your offering. I don't want your money. I want your obedience. I want your obedience. You can't pay God off. You can't bribe God. You can't buy God. Here's the next blank space. God wants your obedience more than your money. God wants your obedience more than your money. From the verses that we read just prior, disobedience is like witchcraft. Not obeying God is like playing with the Ouija board. Not obeying God is like delving with the astrology. What is your zodiac sign? That's witchcraft. Not obeying God is like that. It's witchcraft. Disobedience is like idolatry. So number one, obedience is a duty to be performed. Here's the next blank space. Number two, obedience is a debt to be paid. The hymn writer says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and cherish in his presence daily live. I surrender all. Obedience is a debt to be paid. Have we forgotten the high price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our salvation? I'm going to read to you. You may want to just write it down on the side of your study sheet here. Acts chapter number 5. I'm going to read to you verses 29 through 31 in Acts chapter 5, 29 through 31. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Christ suffered, bled, and died on that cross for our salvation. The Bible says he's the savior of all men, but especially of those who believe. When we consider what Christ has done for us, there should be no hesitation. There should be no reluctance. There should be no vacillation of serving our Lord. So number one, obedience is a duty to be performed. Number two, obedience is a debt to be paid. Number three, here's our next blank space. Obedience is a delight to be preferred. Obedience is a delight to be preferred. As a child of God, we ought to prefer obeying God rather than man. As a child of God, we ought to prefer loving God rather than the world. As a child of God, we ought to prefer doing what was right. The will of God shouldn't be a drudgery for you to do. It should be a delight that you get to do. Instead of some Christians thinking with the attitude, I got to go to church. No, the attitude should be, I get to go to church. I got to tell folks about Jesus. No, I get to tell people about Jesus. I got to give something in the offering. Praise God. God has blessed me. I get to give something in the offering. Amen. If we can get our perspectives just right, you'll have the joy of the Lord knowing that your actions, here's the next blank space, you will have the joy of the Lord knowing that your actions please God. If you've never experienced that, you need to try. It is a huge joy knowing that the daily life that you live, as God inspects your life, He is pleased. That's a great joy that comes from that. Are you going to get everything perfect? No, you're going to make some blunders along the way. But the fact that your eyes are focused on the Lord and you're striving with all you know how to please God, and you can honestly say to God, Lord, as far as I know, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. There's nothing that I'm not holding on into sins, any secret sins. There's no corner or room in my life where I harbor sin, where I compromise what's right. That's a joy. In Acts chapter number 5 and verse 41, look there. The Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council. Look at that word, that next word. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing. It was a great delight that they were mistreated, persecuted, prosecuted, threatened, abused for the cause of Christ. To suffer shame. The things that were done against them, their persecutors thought that they were doing something to shame them, but they counted it as a joy. They counted it as a joy that they were put in the category of those who had an allegiance and a commitment to Christ. And there's no such thing as a happy, disobedient servant of the Lord. My Bible tells me that the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, here it is, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They are a joy, they are a delight, they are a pleasure. So number one, as we just about end here tonight, number one, obedience is a duty to be performed. Number two, obedience is a debt to be paid. Number three, obedience is a delight to be preferred. And here's our last blank space, our last blank space in the numbered items. Number four, obedience is a decision to be practiced. A decision to be practiced. We gotta walk it out. We gotta put it in shoe leather. We gotta do it. We've got to do it. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord thy God is a sun and shield. For the Lord will give grace and glory. Here it is. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Obedience is the very best way. And our lives ought to practice it, demonstrate it, and prove it to the world that God's way is the best way. It doesn't have to be flashy, shiny, sparkly. It has substance. Substance. I think it was last week. I don't know if it was last Wednesday night or last Sunday night. And we talked just briefly about a quantity versus quality. How that I said that quantity is something that you can count, but quality is something that you can count on. We ought to have that quality of obedience that God can count on us. God can put something in our hands and trust us that we're going to do the right thing. Now, if we're not obedient, there's just some things that God can't trust us with. No matter how much we want it, no matter how much we ask for it, no matter how much we desire it or beg or plead God for it, God says, I want you to have it. I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you so all the world can know that I'm God. I want you to have it, but you're not trustworthy. You're not obeying me, so I can't trust you with it. If I give it to you, you're going to mess it up. We need to be obedient. Obedience is a decision to be practiced. We got to practice it. The Bible says in Psalms 84:11, I'll read it to you. I just quoted it. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God will meet every need that we got, and God will bless us beyond all we can even possibly think. He will do it. But many times he don't do it because we're not walking right. No good thing, it says no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He won't hold back anything if we're just walking right. Obedience is not just a mentality. Obedience is a practicality. His will is to be done. You can choose to obey or not to obey. Obedience is your declaration that you love God and are happy about it. Listen to this. Psalms 144:15. We're getting ready to close out tonight. The Bible says this right here. Get this now. Happy. Sometimes referred to as blessed. Happy is that people that is in such case. Here it is. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Capital, all caps, L-O-R-D. That means Jehovah. That means master. That means I am. Happy is that people who they're serving him like he is the I am. They're happy. They're blessed. You get to make a choice. God will make you do his will. I think I had one more blank space there left. Here it is. You are a free will agent. I used to ask God sometimes, Lord, I just wish that you could make me into like a robot, and that way I would do everything right. I wouldn't mess up. I'd just be programmed just right. But God says, that's not, I want you to obey me out of your own free will. I'm not going to make you do anything. Yes, I made the stars. I made the moons. I made the skies. I made the animals. I made the fish, the bugs, the insects. I made all those. I made the trees. But I'm not going to make you do anything. You're a free agent. You decide whether we're going to trust and obey. Let us pray.